Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Intentional Life.
Helping others speak their truth and live authentically.
With fulfillment specialist, LaShawn McQuarrie.
My heart's desire is to bring healing to the world.
And minister of motivation, Dr. Walter Sims.
You are somebody special.
They're on a mission to help you open your mind, forgive, love, heal, accelerate your life, and speak the truth. And now, here are your co-hosts of Intentional Life.
There's nobody quite like you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Intentional Life. This is your very hoarse co-host, LaShawn McQuarrie, and I also have Dr. Walter Sims with us here this morning. Good morning to all of you, and Dr. Sims, welcome again to Intentional Life. How are you this morning?
I am doing fine, and like I was telling you in our pre-production meeting, you sound fine, but that raspiness is something that we have early in the morning, so you sound fine, my wonderful co-host.
Well, thank you, and if it was just because it was early in the morning, that would be cool, but it's just following me around all day.
I heard that.
It's just the voice. It's just the sound of it. But, again, I actually feel fabulous, and I hope all of you feel fabulous as well. This morning we are talking about your why, and Remember Why is the title that we've chosen for this morning, because that's what we're talking about here. You know, everything begins with a why. Everything that
that's
you
right.
do, from getting up to go to the grocery store, you know, even something as simple as getting up, you know, during your day to go to the bathroom, or, you know, yesterday I spent a little bit of time watching the NCAA tournament, you know, and everything
right.
that we do, there's a reason why we do it. Now, you know, us, we're always talking about purpose and living intentionally and, you know, living motivated and all those wonderful things. And so this morning, as we're talking, you know, you may want to jot down some notes. There may be some things that we say that trigger something within you, but it's very
That's
important
right.
for us to always go back to, because sometimes in life, you know, things happen. And when they do, if we're going to steady our course, if we're going to achieve the things that we desire, we have to always remember our why. Because when things get tough, or when life just kind of, you know, tries to take you in a different direction, if you are not solid on where you are going, then you will forget your why, because it's not
That's
there.
Right.
It's not maybe ingrained in you enough. And so
That's
other
right.
things can begin to happen. So for you, Dr. Sims, when you think about why, what is it? What are your tools? What do you do to keep yourself focused and centered on your why?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that question this morning, because that is just where I am right now. And one of my colleagues called me the other day, and we were talking and just going down memory lane, remembering why we even got started down this path. You can't think of anything else. So the very first thing that I like to do, and one of the tools I do, is the first part of the talk show this morning, is to remember. You know, so many times we kind of get caught up just in the day-to-day, and I love sports, and I'm glad you opened up with that. And I was listening to the head coach of the UConn women's basketball team, and they are always, you know, one of the most dominant teams on the women's side of the house. And the coach said something that's so, so powerful. And she said, remember what got us here. Never forget how and why you got here. And so many times we can get caught up in success. We can get caught up in, for the lack of a better word, we can get caught up in the failures. We can get caught up in the number crunching. And sometimes we really forget, you know, the source of our motivation. And, you know, that's my big word, being the minister of motivation. But remember is a piece of remembering the why you do what you do. Because if you keep that in the forefront of your mind, when you have those dips, when you have those lows, when the numbers are not adding up, you remember, you know, what got you down this path, because we're living on purpose. And if we're not doing this thing, what in the world would we be doing? You know, Jesus, you know, what after he fed the multitude one time, there is a parable, there's a story. You know, he fed the multitude. And after he fed the multitude, he began to get a little deep. He went a little deeper this time than he had gone before. And when he had started teaching and he was saying some hard things, you know, people began to walk away from him because it sounded foreign to him. And when they all left, when the multitude had left, he was left with the disciples, and he asked them, will y'all leave me as well? And Peter threw his hand up and he said, well, if we left you, where else are we going to go? And so if you left your purpose, then what are you going to do? Nothing fuels you. Nothing pushes you like your purpose. So the first thing that I do, and one of the tools that I use, is to remember and simply keep in the forefront of my mind the reason I'm on this journey. And so what's one of the tools you use, LaShawn McCrary?
Well, you know what? I'm glad you said that because I remember a sermon that I heard years ago, and it was titled Remember to Remember. And I thought, you know, going right along with what you said, you know, it does start with that, you know, remembering your journey. And then I think, you know, also it's the constant actions that need to be taken to make sure that you are going in the direction that you choose to go, that you are, in fact, you know, doing whatever is required of you, you know. And it's interesting because one of the things that, and I've bumped heads with this many times throughout the years, is knowing that sometimes it's meant for you to do nothing. And, it really is. Sometimes it's just meant for us to sit, and you really do have to be very wise when knowing when is the time to do nothing. And then there's sometimes, you know, it's just meant for you to believe and for you to be patient, you know, and no matter what, that word believe is the underlying. I mean, I think out of all tools out there, I think that if you just believe more than anything, that will help you remember because you believe
That's
it. But a lot of times when you lose faith, it becomes very hard to remember why you're doing it because
you're no longer focused
on the why. You're focused on what didn't happen. You're focused your timeline. You know, so many things. And I'm not necessarily against goal setting, and I've heard so many different philosophies, you know, have a goal, and it has to have a date, and it has to be written down, and it has to be, well, you know, and there's so many different philosophies out there with that. And I always tell people, you need to figure out what works for you. You know, you really do. You need to figure out what works best for you. And in addition to that, you always have to leave room for something bigger than you. You know, I was reading a book, and it's called Meta-Mortality. And it's by a gentleman by the name of Eric Butterworth. And one of the very interesting things that was said in that book was that, you know, if your dream, you know, if it's something that, and I'm mixing this up. I listened to so many different things yesterday and read.
This is
something else. This came from a speech by a woman by the name of Ava, I can't think of her last name, Devernay or something like that. But she was the woman who directed the movie Selma. And what was interesting about it is that she said, I was not their first choice or the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth. I was the seventh person. So it took for them to get through seven. When I first heard the story, I was told four. But when she told the story herself, she said, I was the seventh person that they chose. And it was interesting because she talked about, you know, being prepared. And she said, you know, when she worked on her first film, she had a budget of $50,000. And she said that time she was focused on you know, getting certain accolades and getting it distributed. And she said to me, by the time she got to the second film, she had a budget of $200,000. And she had done some other shorts and a couple other things beforehand. But by the time she got the $200,000 film, well, then she just wanted to get into this film festival. And that was her focus. And it was great because she did. She got in and she won. Wonderful thing. But she said, but the next time around, in between films, somewhere along the midst of all of that, she stopped and she said she realized that everything she was doing was bigger than her. And so instead of just setting her sights about an accolade, an award, you know, a trophy, she decided that everything is about something bigger than her. And so she just focused on being of service. And when she said that, I thought that that was huge. And then what she said was, if your goal only consists of yourself, it's not big enough.
Right.
If it's only about you putting something on your mantle, you know, per se, then it's just not big enough. And I thought, wow, when she said that, because, you know, it is meant for us to be of service to somebody. You know what I mean? For us to touch, you know, other people's lives. And because she was able to believe in that, she said her next film went from $200,000 all the way up to $20 million. And she was telling all these wonderful stories about being able to go certain places with Oprah. I said, well, I went to the White House and they invited me for dinner. She said, I'm sure it has something to do with the fact that I was hanging with Oprah, but who cares? I got dinner too. You know, and I just laughed, you know, and I just laughed at that. But she's absolutely right. She got something bigger because she would have never thought all the things that happened to her, that they would have happened because she would have been looking at, well, I want this. And so your why also, it includes you, but it's not about you.
That's right. So when
you're thinking about your why, you know, I challenge you to not change it, but if it only includes you, I challenge you this morning to expand it, to make
that's
it
good.
Bigger, to, you know, and
that's
then to let it go. You know, regardless of whether your belief is, whether it's let go and let God, the divine, chi, prana, whatever it is that you call it, doesn't even matter. But let go and realize that it is much, much, much bigger than you are.
That's good. That is really good. That's good stuff. Hey, guys, we're halfway through the show. If you want to call in, you can dial 646-478-0615.
I've never heard him give out the number that way. That sounds funny when he gives out the number. That's just making me chuckle. Now, you know what, Dr. Sam, what do you say and what would you say to someone who's possibly not really sure what their why is yet? Or, you know, and let's say that there's something that they want to do and they do believe that it's their purpose, but they don't have a solid why. What would you suggest?
Right.
How do they find out their why?
Well, you know that. I mean, you know, you asking me because you know that's what I do. You know, I'm a purpose finder. I help people figure out their why. And what I tell people, a lot of times, it's sort of like going real quickly. It's sort of like going to a restaurant. And you and I have been out together, and the first thing they ask you, you know, are you ready to order yet? And we both take time to figure out what we want. And so it is so akin to, you know, your purpose, because if you don't really know your why, parenthetically, or what, you're really going, you don't know what direction to go in. It's sort of like, again, going on a trip. Okay, I want to go somewhere. Well, where do you want to go? I don't know. I just want to go somewhere. I'm just going to jump in the car and drive. Well, that'll only last as long as a tank of gas will last. You know?
Right.
And so it is critical to figure out your why. And Les Brown, one of our mentors, simply says the two most important days in a person's life is, number one, the day that they were born, and then number two, the day that they figure out why. All of us has a why. You know what I'm saying? There's no animal in the animal kingdom that walks around questioning what and who they are. I have never, and I've been around 48.7 years, I have never seen a lion with low self-esteem. I'm going to wait for somebody to shout. I've never seen an animal struggling from an identity crisis, but it is only us that walk on two legs, that walk around and scratch our head. But the remedy is very simple, and I challenge people with this. If you were only given 24 hours to live, and God sent you a text very quickly, God sent you a text and said, I tell you what, come on up with me. I want you to hang out with me. I miss you. We have good talks every day. I love you. And just come on up 24 hours, then you can pack up everything and just come on with me. And you would text God back and say, well, Lord, you know, I love you. You my G. You my bae. You my boo. But I tell you what, I need more time to do what? What is it that thing that you need more time to do? And whatever you fill in the blank with, that is your why. Like for you and me, we were like, well, Lord, I need more time to finish reaching the whole world. I need more time motivating the whole world. I need more time to help people figure out their purpose. I need more time to do more videos of encouragement. I need more time to touch more people. We know what we need more time to do. And it is that thing. That's the thing, and another way to look at it, what is it really easy for you to do? It's easy for you and I to talk. It's easy for us to help people figure out what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, we know what we're supposed to be doing. It's really easy for us. Whatever that thing is that's really easy for you to do, that's your why. Like when people are born and destined to sing, they can sing with no music and sound like they're in a million-dollar band. You know what I'm saying? So it is that thing. It is that thing that's really, really easy for you to do. And that 99.9% of the time is your why.
Okay. Here's where we're going to go deep with this, everybody, and I'm going to put Dr. Sams on the hot seat. He wasn't expecting this, but that's okay. That's why it's called the hot seat. So, Dr. Sams, with everything you just said, what you just said was a whole lot of what you would do, the whole text message from God. Okay, God, I need to stay here to motivate people, touch more people.
Right,
why?
Right.
Why? Well, why? And I'm talking about you personally. Let's say that you got that text message from God this morning right before the show. Why?
Right.
We know you want to make a million people smile. We know about your videos and everything else, your YouTube channel and all of those things. But why? Why do you want to do it?
Oh, that is so good, and I believe the why I want to do it is wrapped up. And I hate to sound like a politician this morning, and maybe not necessarily answering the question, but and I'm gonna get a little country on you since you put me on the hot seat. When you're on the hot seat, you can kind of answer the way you want to get out of the hot seat. It's just it's that. Thing, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to kind of wrap it up, but it is just that thing. And I said it in a video the other day. It is just that thing that drives you. And the way we say it in Alabama, the way us country folks say it, you got to can't help it. You know what I'm saying? Because I asked my dad one time. I was in high school, and I said, "Well, Daddy, how does a man know?" Just in the context of that conversation, and my dad is a Baptist preacher, I said, well, how does a man know when God is calling him into the ministry? And my dad answered me so smooth. He said, well, when he does, you'll know. And when you have a thing that you have to do, you have to can't help it. You know what I'm saying? And sort of like I love Michael Jackson, and then one of my buddies were talking about him the other day. I miss him so much. But he just had that thing. And when you have that thing, you know it, and you're not going to be satisfied until you're doing that thing. And Michael Jordan would admit, he said, I missed more shots than I made, but I kept practicing. So some of the shots I made were some big shots. and the way that he moved on the court, the way that he played the game, you knew he was born to do this. And all of us will admit the times in our lives that we were most successful were those times we were doing what we were purposed to do. And when you have that thing that you get, you can't sleep if you're not doing it, you can't eat right if you're not doing it, you can't think right if you're not doing it, nothing satisfies you more than you doing that thing. So to answer the question directly, I have to answer it indirectly, because it is such an abstract thing that sometimes it's hard to put your arms around. Well, why do you have to do this? Well, why? But again, when a lion is walking through the jungle, he cannot help but be a lion. And so this morning, to all of our listeners, you cannot help what you've been called to do. And your stress level, the reason you're stressing, pressing, and depressing is because you're not doing that thing. It is tough being an apple when you are called to be an orange. And the stress comes when you're trying to do everything else in the world but what you've been born to do. That's where a lot of stress comes from. Go ahead.
Okay, now I want to challenge you on something. I want you to expand on this. So let's take, for example, the people who are on, I'm going to say, like American Idol or The Voice, mm-hmm. or any one of those shows, and they have these auditions that go on. And there are people mm-hmm. that just mm-hmm. clearly, and they say, I know I was born to do, and they can't sing worth nothing. I've been wanting to do this since I was a child, and I'm just like, have you heard yourself? You know, and it all started off with Simon years ago, and he used to crack me up because he would give people these looks, and, you know, sometimes I'd actually feel bad for him.
I love Simon.
He was so hilarious.
I love Simon.
But those people are so sure at that moment that, oh, I was born to sing, I was destined to sing, and I'm just like, no, nobody wants to hear you sing. I'm not sure. So my challenge or my question for you is, how do we know when somebody, because, again, let's take a person. Let's just say the person's name is Jim, and Jim really mm-hmm. wants to sing. And Jim cannot sing. He doesn't have the it factor, as they call it.
Right.
He just doesn't
right.
have any of that. But he really wants to sing, and it's just
right. –
it ain't there. It's just not there. But he
well,
feels
I'm gonna, go ahead. Well, I'm gonna mess with you. I'm
okay.
gonna mess with you. Could James Brown sing? Could James Brown really sing? Could he really sing? Ow! I feel good. Could he really sing? No. He would. Would he make it on American Idol and The Voice? Probably not. But do you know what? That's what his calling, and he made a living with it, with that raspy, country, twangy voice. He was successful. Why? Because he had that anointing to do that thing. And what I tell a lot of people, you don't need the American Idol of the world. Because I got a young lady in my congregation. She is 13 years old. Oh my goodness, that baby can sing, okay? And I tell all the time, I say, we want to put you on Sunday's Best, we want to put you on American Idol, but and X Factor, but you don't need that affirmation. You don't need that confirmation, because if you know, and I'm going, again, I'm going out on a little bit of a limb, so I need a little bit of latitude. There have been, since you, if you know that you know that you know that you know, you don't need that kind of global a coordination or ordination of your ability. That's ego a lot of time. But if you know that you know that you know, you just get out there and do it. That was one other little nugget I was going to give you, because a lot of times you do get discouraged because you're not getting the affirmation that you think you need. So you need to just go through the motion. Just do it. Just sing. There are venues. There is a set amount of people that's waiting on you to exercise your gift. It may not be in front of the American Idol stage. It may not be in front of the Voice platform, but there's a handful of people. there are a handful of people that have been set aside, assigned to you to touch, because somebody may not think you can. And when you really know that you know, because you don't hear some of those people that do go down in a burning heat, you don't hear them say, I was born to do this. A lot of times you know, but there are those that may not have hit the right pitch on that particular day, nerves or whatever else got them. But I'm here to tell you right now, Jennifer Hudson didn't make it on American Idol. She didn't win, but she's had a successful career. That baby's insane. You know what I'm saying?
But she at least, but Jennifer and people like that, the finalists, at least they come to some type of an agreement, okay, that that they have it. Mm-hmm. So let's say, Dr. Sims, this person,
this Jim comes in and he wants
you to be his coach. And he starts, and you say, okay, well, sing something for me.
Right.
And you ain't even so confident that this is his calling.
Okay. That's good. That's good. And so what we would do, I will bring him in.
Go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, I would bring him in. And again, remember what I said. Remember what, you know, the very first thing I said. Remember, you know, the day that you figured out that why. And I will challenge him being in that space or her in that space. I'm saying, okay, roll it back. Why do you want to sing it? Like, you know, the challenge.
There you go.
Morning.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. We'll challenge because a lot of times we can think a thing, you know what I'm saying? But we got to really reevaluate. And so that's the very first thing that we would do is reevaluate that, because if he believes in his heart of hearts that's what he's been called to do, then we'll work toward it. I mean, have you had voice lessons? Have you had some professional help? Because a lot of times we can have a raw, quote-unquote, ability, and all it has to be is nurtured. Because even Paul, you know, when he first got, the Lord told him to go spend some time with another brother, you know, he had some time, some alone time to really hone in on what he's been called to do. So if you believe that in your heart of hearts, then we got to get some help to sharpen the tool that you've been given. Come on, somebody.
Right. And you know, and I think there's definitely, you know, there has to be, and one of the things that you said earlier about you can't sleep at night unless you do it. Because I do think that there are certain things like, you know, somebody like a Whitney Houston. Well, some people, mm-hmm. their gift mm-hmm. is there from childhood.
That's
they've
right.
always been able to
That's
sing
right.
or dance or act.
That's right.
And then there
That's
are
right.
certain
That's
people
right.
that develop their talent. And
it's
more or less
That's
of a
good.
Talent than it is a gift. And I say
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
because, for
mm-hmm.
prime example, Michael Jordan, he was a water boy at first. You know, he was picking up towels.
That's
you know,
exactly
he didn't
right.
make the team. But he decided
exactly
that he
right.
wanted it enough that he began to practice on his own. And so that mm-hmm. is one of the things that I will say for somebody. If there is something that you want and everybody is looking at you like, dude, you're not talented enough to do that.
Come on.
It is really in you. You will not sit down. And like Dr. Sam said, you know, you will recognize I'm not that good yet. But you want
you
it to
preach.
The point where you will work
you
on it,
it
to get it. So even if you are somebody like a Spud Webb, you know, from many, many years ago who played basketball and he was only like, what, 5'6", 5'8", something crazy like
uh-huh.
that, you know, and
uh-huh.
he's playing next to all these giants, you know, that are well over in between 6 and 7 feet, then, you know, it makes a difference. But there had to be a certain amount that, of course, being that stature, that he had to prove
yeah.
himself. And
he
really
won
the
slam dunk contest. Yeah,
it was phenomenal. You know, it was really, you know, great to see and everything else. And so there are so many different, you know, things that people can do. And I think that, you know, again, it goes back to the why do you want to do this particular thing? And what is it? Because if it's something that's really, you know, keeping you up at night, and like Dr. Sands, you know, if you're going to work every day and you're like, I don't want to do this, I'd really rather do blank.
Come on,
that's what's
come
really
on.
In my heart, then you
come
do
on.
Need to figure out a way to do that. You know, if you love to cook, but right now you can't cook a lick, but there's just something in you, well, then that means that maybe you're one of those people that need to go to a culinary school. But then we see it all
there
the time on all the different cooking shows, people who just love to cook and they just started figuring it out in their own kitchen.
Come on.
Everything else. And, you know, and that's just great. You know, there's a show, MasterChef Junior, and they have all these young kids on there. And, oh, my gosh, they're phenomenal. Just watching them and they get it done and everything else and they just figure it out. So with that, you know, I know we're close to the end of the show time, but yeah, everybody just make sure that you figure out your why, remember your why, and yeah, everybody have a fabulous week. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, and if you need to get in touch with us, you can tweet us at Dr. Walter Sims, D R W A L T E R S I M S. And at LASHAWNMCCRARY. And until next time, remember, if you stay high on life, life will stay high on you.